This is the latest of a long development of increasing diplomatic hostilities that started under the Obama administration's reaction to Russia's occupation of the Crimea and parts of eastern Ukraine. From a Russian perspective, I talked to Pavel Felgenhauer, who is a critical observer of Russian politics in Moscow. He works as a columnist for the Nova Gazeta, one of the few newspapers that try and withstand state censorship.
It's clear to everyone that the hope that Russian-American relations will improve, well, that's over. And Russia and America are kind of in a zero-sum game situation, which is, well, not good because, well, it means that each side is going to be acting that anything's bad for Russia is good for America and everything that's bad for America is good for Russia. It's a kind of prolonged confrontation, and Moscow officials say that they think it's going to last many years, maybe a decade, that the standoff is for a long time.
But others are less pessimistic. Another observer, Vadim Nikitin, who was born in Russia but now lives in London, analyzing Russian politics from a Western perspective, says that it is only a war of words.
If we look at the accompanying rhetoric for all these three events, which actually are quite significant and historically speaking would indicate a real big rift diplomatically, the rhetoric has not been of the same level of gravity. The rhetoric has actually been fairly conciliatory, very cautious, very measured. So if we look at even yesterday, Russia's new ambassador, Anatoly Antonov, he said, no hysterical outburst. We're going to act calmly and professionally. We've had this kind of rhetoric where even now, Rex Tillerson, when he spoke to Lavrov to announce the closure of the San Francisco offices, he focused on making an effort to arrest the downward spiral. So these are all words that express the view that, yes, there is a certain political necessity in America to escalate some of these diplomatic moves. But at the same time, there's a lot of rhetoric to suggest that this is a pro forma kind of response.
So it's heavy rhetoric and it's been reported as such within Russia. How do people in the street react to that? Well, Felgenhauer points out that the U.S. sanctions and the lack of cooperation between Washington and Moscow in the international theater, notably in Syria and in North Korea, are played out by the state-owned media.
Right now, America is the enemy. Of course, also Ukraine is the enemy. But there are those in Russia, a minority, that have their own opinion, but it's kind of impossible to have your own opinion when there is such an effective propaganda machine. And most people don't have individual opinions. They kind of repeat when they're polled and asked questions. They more or less repeat what the propaganda had told them.
But in the end, says Nikitin, the whole current escalation may just be caused by an American domestic political struggle. Remember when the Senate in July voted a massive 98 against 2 in favor of new sanctions against Russia? Nikitin says, in fact, it's an indirect attack on the White House by Democrats and Republicans who are unified in their criticism of U.S. President Donald Trump.
I don't think that Russia is necessarily itself central to this. I think a lot of this anti-Russian feeling that's currently being held in America is actually driven by antagonism towards the president. Russia is being used as an issue by which to attack President Trump and his administration because it is seen as his Achilles heel. And it's gained legs and it's gone from a political strategy used by the opposition, by the Democrats, and it's entered popular consciousness into a kind of hysteria right now in America. And I think it's very difficult to put that genie back in the bottle.
Be it as it may, the increasing rhetoric, the sanctions and the downgrading of diplomatic relations is bad PR for everybody, and it remains to be seen if the tensions will be diffused anytime soon.